Hello again, and welcome to this edition of Studies in the Gospels, heard each week right here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McElyea, your host of this program. And on Studies in the Gospels, each week we examine the life of Jesus Christ as recorded in the Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We are in a important moment in our study at this time. For some weeks now, we have been looking at when darkness came upon the face of the earth, as we consider those events surrounding the cross of Jesus Christ. We're going to examine that darkness today. Now, I would remind you that our program will be replayed this evening at 11 p.m. Central Standard Time, and it will also be posted in the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in the next day or so. And so you can go back and further look or catch programs you might have missed of this program or any other that is heard here on the Gospel Radio Network. So now let's turn our attention again to the scene of the cross and that lowest day in the history of man. Our text today comes from Matthew chapter 27 and verse 45. Mark records this in chapter 15 and verse 33. And Luke records this in chapter 23 verses 44 and 45. Let's notice each of these. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 45. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. In Mark chapter 15 and verse 33. Now when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And then in Luke chapter 23, verses 44 and 45. Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. Now, as we begin to look closer, let's return back to Mark's account in chapter 15 and verse 33. Now, when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And so here begins the final 3 hours on the cross. The Holy Spirit, through the inspired writers, points out that this would be the sixth hour until the ninth hour, that darkness overshadowed the land. Now, in the way that the people kept time in those days, the hours were measured from sunrise. So, by our standards, this would be from around noon till around 3 p.m. by the standard of time that we keep today. This was 3 hours. This darkness cannot be contributed to a coincidental eclipse, as many skeptics and atheists would try to use here. It could not be because of the length of time involved. Most of us, or many of us of a certain age, have at least in some point in their life experienced a total eclipse or a near total eclipse of the sun. And if you will recall, the darkness lasts for a period of time, but nothing near 3 hours. A complete 100% solar eclipse of the sun would still amount to only a matter of minutes of darkness. Now, this was not a fog that rolled in. It was not a heavy mist, or perhaps one might even try to claim a dust storm. But it would not have been any of these types of events, for they are natural events. A heavy fog does not create great stir and excitement among the people. A dust storm, as novel it is in my part of the world, would still not create that type of stir. The people were shaken by these events. God, in some miraculous way, stopped the light of the sun from reaching the earth. For a minute, let's consider what Burton Kaufman had to say regarding this. Appropriately, while the Son of Righteousness was suffering humiliation and death, the literal sun refused to shine. Tertullian said that in the same hour, too, the light of day was withdrawn. When the sun, at the very time, was in its meridian blaze, those who were not aware that this had been predicted about Christ no doubt thought it was an eclipse. You yourselves have the account of the world portent still in your archives. In that quotation, Tertullian appealed to Proculus, a Roman senator, and it is certain Tertullian would not have made such an appeal to Roman records if it had not been true. Pontius Pilate sent the following report to Tiberius, Emperor of Rome. And when he had been crucified, there was darkness over the whole earth, the sun having been completely hidden, and the heaven appearing dark, so that the stars appeared, but at the same time their brightness darkened. As I suppose your reverence is not ignorant of, because in all the world they lighted lamps from the sixth hour until evening. And the moon, being like blood, did not shine that whole night. And yet she happened to be at the full. From these two quotations, to which many others might be added, it is plain that one of the strong arguments used by early Christians in urging the truth of the gospel was their appeal again and again to persons in the highest authority, to whom they invariably imputed the universal knowledge that such a wonder had indeed occurred. This manifestation of God's power should cause the soul to tremble. Only the true God and Creator of the universe could step forth and lay his hand upon the established routine of the order of the natural creation and bring to pass such a darkness that would envelop the world for 3 hours. That from the commentary of Burton Kaufman. Indeed, we see the fulfillment of the prophecy of the Old Testament prophet Amos in this event. Go with me back to the 8th chapter of Amos, and now let's notice verses 2 through 9. And he said, Amos, what do you see? So I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then the Lord said to me, the end has come upon my people Israel. I will not pass by them any more. And the songs of the temple shall be wailing in that day, says the Lord God. Many dead bodies everywhere. They shall be thrown out in silence. Hear this, you who swallow up the needy and make the poor of the land fail, saying, when will the new moon be passed, that we may sell grain? And the Sabbath, that we may trade wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel large, falsifying the scales by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver, and the needy for a pair of sandals. Even all the bad wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. Shall the land not tremble for this, and everyone mourn who dwells in it? All of it shall swell like the river, heave and subside like the river of Egypt. And it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord God, that I will make the sun go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in broad daylight. Indeed, in the 3 hours of darkness, from the sixth to the ninth hour, The prophecy of Amos chapter 2 comes to fulfillment. Jesus Christ had taken upon his shoulders the sins of the world. The time of death had arrived. Jesus, his entire life, had known his appointment with this day. Perhaps the cruelest of everything he suffered. But even more so, for 3 hours, God the Father was forced to turn away as Jesus took on the sin of the world. Jesus would cry out soon, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? For 3 hours, Jesus, beaten, bloodied beyond recognition, his body torn to shreds, and nailed on a cross, took on the sin of the world. The sin of every man and woman that had ever lived to that point. The sin of every man and woman living at that time. Even the sin of the very ones who would put him on the cross. And yes, the sins of everyone to come after, including me and you. Oh, the burden that he bore. And now the time had come for Jesus to die. And the reason that he would die is because of you and me. If the Lord wills, next week, I hope that you'll join me as we consider the moment when Jesus dies on the cross for me and you. I hope that you'll be with us. Again, our program will be replayed this evening at 11 p.m. Central Standard Time. It'll be posted in the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in the next day or so. Be sure and tune in throughout the day for the programming here on the network. Find a new program to start listening to every week and enjoy and grow from. And again, if the Lord wills, I'll be with you next week at this same time for studies in the Gospels right here on the Gospel Radio Network. So until then, so long, have a great day, and may God bless you.